الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله حمده. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيدا. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك، فلك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد في الأولين، وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين، وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد في كل وقت وحين، وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين، وصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد حتى ترث الأرض ومن عليها يا الله، وأنت خير الوارثين. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا اللهم فيما أعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت، فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت، فلك الحمد على ما قضيت. نستغفرك الله، نستغفرك الله من كل ذنب وخطيئة، ونتوب إليك. صل اللهم على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي النبي الرحمة، وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه، وبارك وسلم. رب اغفر وارحم، وأنت خير الراحمين. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
سبحان الملك القدوس، سبحان الملك القدوس، سبحان الملك القدوس، سبحان الغائبين ويا راحمة الوفاي والفقراء واليتامى والمساكين اللهم اغفر لنا يا الله وبفضلك اجمعين وتب وزكي واعف من يقول
نويت صوم غد أن عدائي فرد شهر رمضان هذه سنة لله تعالى إيمانا احتسابا لوجه الله الكريم عز وجل.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We continue our theme دروس الحياة من قصص الأنبياء في كتاب الله. Life lessons from the stories of the prophets in the book of Allah, where we focus on incidents that occurred either to the prophets but certainly in the time of the prophets, and incidents from which you can learn lessons of people who were in the environs of the prophets. May Allah's peace be upon all of them. There is a verse in the Holy Quran revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that reads, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. This verse was revealed in response to a particular situation. A lady expressed her concern to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the prevalent chauvinism among some men that women in the society had perceived. She conveyed to the Prophet the concern that there is a feeling that some men consider themselves in a better position than women because men were directly participating in some of the activities, certain activities like battle and so on, which often women did not. It was then that Allah revealed this verse and two other verses in response to this lady's complaint or request or her speaking up. And the verse which I recited translates, men shall have the benefit of what they earn, and women shall have the benefit of what they earn, and ask Allah for His grace. Surely Allah is the knower of all things. The spokesperson, the spokeswoman who raised this concern of the women was someone within the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a widow who became the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who impacted on revelation pertaining to gender equality in the Quran. Her name was Hind binti Umayyah. She was also known as Salama. She was known in the earliest Muslim society for her intelligence, for being politically savvy, and for being a rights activist. The major lesson we learned from the incident where she raised the question and the Quran, Allah responded with three revelations, by the way, another one which I'll conclude with afterwards, is that Salama, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, set the precedent showing that women could go directly to a leader, in this case Rasulullah, for any matter affecting the community, including when they were unsatisfied with a gender role associated with them in society. This action by Salama represented a veritable protest circle by the women at that time. So we need to understand, like we spoke about Musa alayhi salam, remember the two followers of Musa who had the guts to stand up and the 70,000 other kept quiet? She was in that vein. She was brave as well as brilliant. The Prophet thus consulted her on critical occasions. Salama, for example, acted as the Prophet's advisor during the crucial negotiations concerning the Treaty of Hudaybiyah with the Meccans in 628 of the Christian era, 6th year of Hijri. In the Hudaybiyah truce, when the Prophet commanded the Muslims, look, they cannot go in and perform the pilgrimage the way they wanted to, that they had to return, and he commanded them to shave their heads, to make sacrifice, and to return from Mecca to Medina according to the agreement that they made with the Meccans. Many of those around the Prophet were lethargic in their response. They were despondent, of course. They felt they were shortchanged by the Meccans. When Salama saw the anguish of Rasulullah, she offered a suggestion, a wise suggestion. Said, Ya Rasulullah, اخرج فلا تكلم أحدا منهم كلمة حتى تنحر بدنتك وتدعو حالقك فتحلقك أو فيحلقك. She said, O my messenger of Allah, it's very hard for them to accept the settlement since they desire victory. So go out yourself, O Muhammad, O Rasulullah, without uttering a word to them. You do the sacrifice, you do what you ask them to do, shave your head, do the sacrifice, and perchance they will do as you do. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did as Salama suggested, and afterwards all the Muslims present stood up and did exactly what Rasulullah did as Salama had suggested. Salama was also a gifted in her judgment, polished in her communication, dignified in her demeanor. This is the kinds of the people around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had a habit of speaking about things that she was knowledgeable about and silent about things she was less knowledgeable about. And such was her depth of knowledge and her insight that numerous companions of the Rasul, the Sahaba radhiyallahu alaihim, studied by her, including among them was Sayyida Aisha, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Anas bin Malik, and the great Abdullah ibn Abbas. They were all students of Salama. Not only that, one of the Tabi'een by the name of Mujahid bin Jabr. Now Mujahid is one of the scholars of Qira'ah, of Hadith, of Fiqh. All schools of thought, when they speak of a Tabi'een which they derive knowledge from, Mujahid is number one. Mujahid was a student of Salama. So she possessed judicious judgment, rapid powers of reasoning, and an unparalleled ability to formulate correct opinions, as we witness as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. She had a clear sighted vision that led her to commitment to the uprooting of unjust traditions and retrogressive tribal customs that were still prevalent in that society. By the way, she was the last person of the Prophet's household to pass away. She outlived the Rasul, and she passed away at the age of 84, 62 years after Hijri. She was the last of the Prophet's household. Even Umar Hussein was martyred and then she passed away. She was the last person from the Rasul's household who passed away. But she was revolutionary enough. She was revolutionary enough for Allah to reveal verses of the Quran in response to a question. And another famous verse, which was recited here yesterday, another famous verse came down in response to exactly the issue of gender equality, where Allah said, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ الله لهم مغفرة أجر عظيمة. Allah could have said, إن المسلمين والمؤمنين, all believers and all mu'minin, all obedient. No. Allah emphasized in response to a question, the believing men and the believing women, the fasting men and the fasting women, the charitable men, purely for emphasis. Because you could say, إن المسلمين is male and female. But for emphasis, the Quran documents male, the believing male and the believing females. The obedient males and the obedient females, the truthful males and the truthful women, and the patient men and the patient women, the humble men and the humble women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the men who guard the chastity, women who guard the chastity, and those men who remember Allah much, and those women who remember Allah much, for such as Allah promised a tremendous reward and forgiveness. This is an explicit verse. among 3 verses in the Quran to specifically emphasize the equal significance of male and female and declaring the absolute moral and spiritual equality of men and women. This in response to the stance of a woman from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who voiced her concern and the concern of some of the ladies in that community. A brilliant lady in the environments of the household of the Rasul, like the two followers of Musa alayhi salam, who had the guts to take a stand and to speak up. May Allah grant her the highest in paradise. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you.